Welcome to the Hoof and Fang Podcast. I'm Kurt Graves.
And I'm Baz Maddox.
And boy, do I have things to talk to you about.
I'm excited.
Okay. It has been a day here in the office where you used to exist.
Yes.
One, I take back everything I said last week about understanding you being cold. It is so hot in here and it's only like 40 degrees outside. So apparently the second it's above freezing, it's perfectly acceptable. But like under freezing, I was on your side.
Fair.
That's but you were wearing sweaters in like July.
Yeah. No, I'm
I need to retract those statements from the last episode because it's
totally
actually
valid.
It's perfectly comfortable in here now that it's just slightly above freezing outside. Okay. So you know that bitch we hate?
Yes.
The person down the hall who is just so annoying and awful.
Yeah.
Not only did she at one point today leave a plate, a fork, and two glasses out on the counter for apparently somebody else to wash in the little shared kitchen area, which we know she's done before.
Yeah.
And then like, we'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that happened. This excuse is why it happened. And it's like, bitch, you do this every time.
Yeah.
So and what's your excuse like, every time? You do it all the time. You're always leaving your shit here for somebody else to clean.
Exactly. Like,
despite the prominently placed sign that's there probably because of you.
Yeah.
Saying, please pick up after yourself. So not only did she do that again, but at one point today, she, obviously nobody has been in our office except for us. Like there's a little kitchenette with like an attached bathroom right next to our office. Like our office has a door that goes directly to it. And then there's like this area that's like next to it and it has like a sort of counter, but it's really a pretty useless area. Nobody ever goes there. Well, today she was hanging out there all day and she had papers spread over everything. So at one
she
point
she has
today,
an office like what
well,
the hell?
Apparently it is inadequate for being able to spread out all of her papers.
Love.
And like they when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere, like on the counter, on the counters in the extra area, like some on the floor. It was like I did not feel like I was able to go in there. So at one point today I had to drive to Quick Trip to go to the bathroom.
My God.
Because I was like, what the fuck, lady? Like, what are you doing? Also, you're hanging out right outside a bathroom. That's fucking weird.
That is weird.
I don't
weird.
Care what I have to do in there. I don't want somebody listening to me as I'm in there.
Using the facilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was a great. And of course, like, how did I know she was here? I opened my booth and I smelled her.
Yeah, just the waft of her weird perfume or incense or whatever she
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, she really got under my skin today. She was driving me crazy. But that's behind
awful.
Me now. Hopefully. Well, I mean, she's gone. I just checked the plate and the cups are still there. And then I looked
of
in
course.
The hallway to say, I was like, is her door still open? Is she still here? No, nope, looks like she's gone. So yeah, I guess after this, I'll be cleaning up her dishes real quick because
don't understand how you can be an adult person in a shared
old.
Space.
And she's a senior citizen. This is not a young person. This is somebody who absolutely should and does know better because she knows to apologize when she forgets.
Yeah.
Which is every time.
Often. Yeah, exactly.
But why even set it down and walk away? Why even do that? Just are you going to use this plate with crumbs on it again later maybe and that's why you don't want to wash it? But then why would you bring it into the shared space?
Yeah.
So fucking weird.
Well, and like if you don't scrub it immediately, that's when everything gets caked on there. So just rinse off the crumbs and put it away. It takes you 2 seconds. Like you're making it harder for yourself later and you're being a slob for the people who have to use the space.
Yeah, which is
so
mostly
shitty.
Just me, but still.
Well, still it's another person.
Still,
like I can't fathom being that self-centered to where I'm just like gonna leave my shit for strangers to deal with.
Then Julie next door, she's leaving. So like she was here moving a bunch of her stuff out today. So she was knocking around in there too. And I was like,
did you get any work done?
And while she, well, yeah, cause when I'm in my booth, it doesn't matter. But like, and when Bitch We Hate was in the room right next to me doing all her paperwork, she was also playing music very loudly through her phone. So like I could hear, it was like either be in this room and hear the music or be in the other room and hear Julie like disassembling a desk. It was like,
my God,
I was like, guys, these are not ideal conditions for work. And if it lasts more than one day, I might have to say something, but I guess I am spoiled in that I'm not used to this many distractions in this workspace. So,
right.
But yeah, it was
That's
a day.
Awful.
It was a day here at the office. So
yeah, it
anyways,
sounds like
how
it.
Are you?
I'm doing okay. I actually had to reach out to my company's like LGBTQ Alliance resource group because I found out that I guess Pride isn't going to be broadcast broadly. That was a terrible sentence. Not marketed broadly, I guess is what I should say, like across the site. So I reached out to them. I was like, hey, is this pretty normal for this company? I'm pretty new. Like, you know, how does this work? Also, how do you go about setting up conversations with people to maybe push back on that and maybe have it a little bit more broad? And it was actually a really productive conversation because this dude had been with the company for like 10 years. And he's like, I've seen the evolution of it being like not at all on the website to like now at least it's present. And he was like, this is pretty on par and da da da. And then I started kind of talking myself up as far as like, hey, just so you know, like in my other company, I did this and this and this. He was like, I love how you set this up to talk and now it's a sales pitch. I was like, that's what's happening. So he was a good sport about it. But yeah, I did a hard sell being like, okay, thank you for answering my questions. Now, what can I do to help? And like just went on this whole like, hey, I do a podcast too. So hopefully that means I'll be able to be more involved on that side of the business and like help with stuff. So we'll see what comes of it. Maybe
it's good just to let them know that like there is somebody out there who's interested and when they need the extra hands, they know who to reach out to.
Yeah. That's when he was like, well, what kind of stuff do you want to do? And I was like, literally, if you need a body for anything, just hit me up. I'm willing to help with you. I was like, you want me to just pass stuff out at a whatever? I'm down for it. So So we'll see what comes of that. But that was probably the
We'll do manual labor.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, hey, I was in a parade for my last company and just walked along with some drag queens dressed as Pokemon and like passed out fans and beads and stuff. So I'm kind of down for whatever.
When the hell did you do that?
It was a couple years ago.
How has it never come up? Well, it's more than a couple years ago.
Yeah. Oh my
gosh. You didn't do that while you lived here.
No. It was, I guess, 2018.
Okay.
So 2 years before we moved, me and Jess both volunteered and the theme was Mario Kart. And so we had a car that was kind of like done up in a Mario Kart theme. And we had a bunch of drag queens, like people who worked in the stores dress up as like they were drag performers. So they put on like this cool cosplay drag thing with being Pokemon characters. And we were like, we just had a blast. It was so much fun. That was like the last big cool involvement I was able to do with my previous company. So
Are you still sick?
No, I think allergies are just coming for me today. I was totally fine until I went back outside and now I'm kind of dying. And I like it set in right before I walked into the office to do this. I'm like, damn it. So I grabbed my water, but I probably should have grabbed some like allergy medicine. But yeah, it's like spring is definitely here now because it's been raining so much and the pollen's just like, bam, like right in the face today.
Yeah. It has also been raining here.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the allergies are going to hit me like any second, but
gotta love
spring
it.
Is still waking up. It's still waking up.
Yeah.
Up in Wisconsin. So I think we're probably going to be a week or two behind you, but that's okay. Is Maz doing anything cool lately?
Ish. Not really. I slowed down a little bit. I'm going through these weird cycles of being like having bursts of creativity and then like kind of going back into like quiet mode. So this week has been like a weird quiet mode kind of thing, which really got under my skin yesterday. And like, I ended up like laying on the bed crying and Alex is like, oh my God. So we're going to be doing some like writing exercises this week to see if maybe I can like jump back in and get some stuff done. But I mean, I restarted Ruben and Zhang's story. So at least that's going now instead of like in a perpetual outline mode.
Right.
But yeah, it's weird. I'm having a hard time like finding the cadence again, I guess, because it's been months since I've had to like really been in the writing cave. So it's kind of goofy, but I think I'm just still finding my footing. I'm optimistic by this weekend. I can shake off whatever this funk is and get back into like my routine again. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah. What about you? What have you been working on?
Well, what am I working on? I'm working on a contemporary romance. Fourth book in the Words We Never Said series.
Okay.
By an author whose work I really enjoy.
Okay.
Whose name starts with the initial E.
Okay.
I can't remember the rest of it.
Oh, the woes of being a very, very busy narrator. Like, knocking these series out. You know
specifically what's happening right now is I am thinking of a narrator name, but I'm pretty sure I'm just interviewing them later this week.
Oh, that's funny.
But it's a different E in like E, another initial last name.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Is Lindsay a thing? Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. An author.
I think it's E.M. Lindsay is the actual author of the book I'm doing right now. And I have some other author's name that came to my mind first because I think I'm interviewing them later this week.
That's hilarious.
God, I know.
I feel like that's going to be your life for a little bit.
Even harder. Like, it's already hard enough, but like to be sitting here and be like, I can't remember the name of the author whose book I literally am narrating right now. That's one thing if a couple weeks goes by and I can't remember the main character's name, but like I'm literally doing it right now and I couldn't bring it forward. So, ooh. There might
it's
be
like
too
you're
much
really
going
busy.
On.
Yeah, I was about to say, you might have a couple plates in the air kind of thing where you just got a lot of stuff you're juggling.
Yeah. And like, I'm also trying to like finish all my giveaway items for Queers and Quills. But then today, my 3D printer, for some reason, just all of a sudden like made a huge gouge in my print plate.
Ew.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I need to get another one of these. And like, thankfully, I've already had to replace like the extruder and now this print plate. And like, the parts are really affordable. It is not like, oh, crap, now I have to spend, like, I may as well buy a new one. Like, they're very affordable replacement parts. So like, that's not what I'm worried about at all. It's just like, okay, so now I'm losing a day because for some reason, this thing decided to like scratch itself to shit. And I was like, what the hell was that about? So hopefully that's
weird.
Not a continued problem, but we'll test before we put the new plate on.
A good idea.
Just to make sure that doesn't happen again. But I'm doing that. And I'm also like, I'm trying to think about like the red outfit that we are wearing for the party. So like, something's in the works and I'm actually going to a friend's house tonight who does like costumes for theater so that I can just like pick her brain and be like, what do you think about this whole thing. So we'll see. Because I do want to actually participate and try to do something, but I also don't want it to break the bank. So
yeah,
that's important.
I think I'm reusing the red outfit from Allure because I
If you already have a red thing.
Yeah, but I like definitely wanted to do something totally different and was like, oh, I should do this kind of dress or like this outfit. And I was like, you're not made of money. So I'm just going to repurpose it. I need to make sure I still
There's not going to be a lot of crossover between those two events because one was very straight and the other one is very queer. So it's a whole new audience. If they haven't seen it, it's new to them.
Exactly.
I'll have seen it. My friend Lindsay will have seen it.
There you go.
Because she was at Allure.
Okay.
That may be the end of the list.
Yeah, that's probably everyone. Mm-hmm. So it's fine.
So, and I will not mention it to anybody who does not approach me, but I will say
specific.
It to everybody who just like it comes up in casual conversation, like, oh my God, she repeated an outfit.
Ugh,
how
what a hack.
Embarrassing for her.
You know what? Speaking of outfits,
what's not embarrassing about that is that you can still fit into an outfit from 2018 or 2021. When did we go?
I hope. Yeah, I think it was 2021. I do need to see if I can actually still fit in it. I'm pretty sure I can. But I need to make sure I've got like
that would be an accomplishment. So pat yourself on the back. You put that dress on with pride.
Yeah. I'll have to try it on this weekend. And if it does not fit, I got to figure out what the hell I'm doing. But I think I'll be okay. I've gained a little bit of weight, but not too much.
Spanks on spanks on spanks.
Yeah. I was about to say, I'm
just like a drag
shaper.
Queen.
Yeah,
just exactly. Drag yourself into that.
Just cinch myself for the gods, as they say.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's
something that'll
that's
be different this time, though, is I got my ears pierced. So I did that last week. So now I can actually wear like earrings. Yeah. So that's kind of fun.
I had my ears pierced once upon a time.
Yeah, I did when I was a kid. That's what happened to me. I had them pierced forever and I let them grow back in because I just was not a jewelry person, but now I'm super am. So I'm like, all right, let's do it. So by the time it rolls around, my ears should be healed and I can wear fun stuff.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. There is that period where you have to wear just the boring.
Yeah. Well, at least they're little moons.
Okay. Well, that's better.
Yeah.
I just had studs, but that could have been because I was a boy and they were like, he won't want anything but a stud. And frankly, at the time, I probably wouldn't have because I was still in high school and walking around with something sparkly on my ear would have brought the wrong kind of attention.
Yeah, for sure.
Not that I was passing. You know?
Yeah.
Not that people were confused about what was going on with me, but still.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't put a target on your head if you don't need to.
Precisely. So that's what we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Just a reminder for folks who are Patreon subscribers or thinking about subscribing, we are currently taking a month off. So there are no charges for this month because there's no new content for a month while mm-hmm. we figure some shit out. But if you're eager for more content, you can hear me over at the Queers and Quills podcast all the fucking time. 3 days a week, soon to be 7 days a week. Just go listen to those episodes because
it's a lot
I'm
of work.
In a lot of work, and they're also very interesting and fun.
Yes, they are. They're really, really interesting. Like a lot of these people, I did know like a couple of them, but most of these are new people who I've never met before. So mm-hmm. it's really fun to be able to listen. And now I'm going to be able to approach them without a problem. Be like, hey, like I know this about you. Like, tell me more about this book that you talked about on the podcast.
And so, please cool. do, because then it makes it seem like doing the podcast was worth it for them.
For sure.
Everybody who's listening to the podcast and going to Queers and Quills, like, go and talk to them. And when you do, say like, oh, and I heard you on the podcast and that.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it was worth it. Then it was worth it, people.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So that's what's going on over on that's what's not going on over on Patreon.
We're figuring stuff out, guys. We'll get some stuff ironed out.
So what are we talking about this week?
So I was fresh in my mind because I actually picked up a book, which we'll talk about in this a little bit more. But I wanted to talk about queer utopias and dystopians in sci-fi and fantasy because I've recently picked stuff up. So first little nugget I kind of want to dive into is the concept of utopias. Are the concept of utopias too good to be true? And can they exist? And if so, what would they look like?
I mean, I suppose they could, but they would get so boring.
It's kind of where my brain was at. Like,
the thing
I
that
feel
I
like...
think of is The Good Place. Did you watch that show?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So the final season, when they actually get to The Good Place,
mm-hmm.
and they realize that it's just a bunch of people who are basically so, like, their minds are mush because they just lead a life with no conflict or obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're miserable. And it's like, I think that's what it would be like. Like, a true utopia would be boring as fuck. Now...
Mm-hmm.
Do I think we could establish some sort of utopia on Earth that's not perfect, but much better than what we have? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think we could very easily reach a point, like, I think of, like, the world of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Where, like, there's no money. Mm-hmm. Everybody works together and has a job because they want to contribute. Or they can travel and explore, or they can explore. They can be an artist. They can be a scientist. They can be a doctor. They could do whatever the hell they want. They can join Starfleet. They cannot. They mm-hmm. can stay on the home world. They could go to another planet. But like, I think money really, the elimination of money for food and services, for the ability to survive, that would be utopia.
Yeah.
And that would be one I could see happening. And it's not that it would be without its challenges or conflicts, but those conflicts would not be due to somebody just trying to survive and lashing out because they can't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think we're aligned on that. Like, my idea of a utopia isn't no conflict or, you know, everybody living in harmony, because people are going to fight always. And, you know, there's always going to be something going on. And to your previous point, unless you have conflict, you're going to get bored. You're not going to be challenged in a way to try to better things or grow as a person. But I definitely think we could take a huge step forward as a species into what would be more aligned to, I guess, a tangible utopia, as if we were able to just exist without having to fight for it. Like, being able to have easy access to education, food, shelter, clothing, like just being able to exist without having to feel like at any point you could be out on your ass or something would be monumental for a species.
Yeah. Well, and I think to answer your question, is it too good to be true?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think that's true even in fiction. Because, like, when I think about the utopias that have existed in fiction, like, I'm thinking of Craig Montgomery's book, A Circle of Stars, where he's whisked away to what seems like a perfect society. And then you find out there's an underbelly and there's conflict and there's people plotting. And it's like, oh, it wasn't perfect all after all. There was this really dark side to this so-called perfect society. I think of, like, The Hunger Games. Where, like, that is billed as a dystopian novel,
mm-hmm.
but it's dystopian for the hero, for Katniss. You go to the capital, for them, it's a utopia.
Yeah.
And so it depends on where you're hanging out. Is this a dystopia or a utopia? Because there's almost always the flip side of the coin. It makes me think about the time I was working for Catholic Heart Work Camp, and we went to a community just outside of Hilton Head, which is a very rich, influential, like, vacation area in the Carolinas. But we were in the town right next to that.
Ooh, okay.
To see the huge disparity in the people who worked in Hilton Head going to serve that place and then going one town over where all those people live, and there was a lot of poverty.
Ooh,
it's like
yeah.
when you go to a resort in a tropical locale and you walk off the resort grounds and you suddenly see that, like, oh, all the people who come here and serve us are living a much different life than what we're being presented with inside these walls. And so to me, anytime there's a utopia, like, look, like, flip the script, turn it upside down, look at it from a different perspective. Almost certainly you are seeing a dystopia on the other side.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's usually like that. And the better written, like, novels and TV shows and stuff, it's this big, shiny, beautiful thing, but there's always something wrong. Not very far under the surface, there's some type of, I don't know, like, black market thing or exploited workers or something like that. So I think we're primed to kind of expect that, which is kind of sad. But yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. I was like, I don't know if we could actually ever do a true utopia without stepping on somebody.
Yeah, you're going to have to ignore some suffering.
Yeah.
In order to achieve utopia. Be like, oh, this feels perfect, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and you kind of brought up too, when I was, my next question was going to be, are there any examples of good utopias? And I guess not good ones, but well-written ones for sure is Circle of Stars and The Hunger Games for sure. Those are amazing examples. And yeah, would there always be some sort of catch? Probably. Just people being exploited and all that jazz. I think an unfortunate reality is that I think we're a little bit closer to dystopians than we'd like to, you know, not believe, because I think we both believe it, but want to be.
For sure.
Yeah. And the whole thing that actually...
It's not hard to see either. No. It's not hard to see.
No. And I think we're living in a... when it sounds kind of ridiculous, but I definitely think we're living in a dystopian present, even though it's not fantastical. And there's not, you know, like, cyberpunk kind of things where people have cool augmented arms and weird corporations that are, you know, half made of robots. It's like... you know, we're still living in that kind of reality, but it's just not as fun as books.
Right.
But what got me into it is I actually started reading, A.M. Johnson put out a dystopian fantasy called Into Elysium, which is totally different than her normal stuff. She usually writes really, really grounded contemporary stuff. But this one I picked up, and it's, I didn't get very far because it's a little too close to home right now. Like, as far as just like people being like, thrown into prison unnecessarily and stuff. But it's, of course, beautifully written. So if you're in the mood for a great dystopian that, of course, has a romance, so I assume has a happy ending, definitely worth picking up, because I'm going to hope it has a happy ending because it's a romance, but I don't know. So don't, if I'm wrong, don't get mad at me. But it's so beautifully written that it's worth picking up for sure. But yeah, I picked that one up and it's just like, oh, we got to talk about just dystopians and all that jazz. But another series that you actually narrate was the Joker's Wild Aces High series, which I think does a great job with a queer-centric dystopian fantasy world.
Yeah.
Like, I...
too well, in fact. And listeners of this podcast might remember our interview with the duo that is that author, pseudonym. And we talked about the fact that, like, it was almost scary as I was reading those books. Like, they would send me, like, here's the next one. And I'd read it and I'd be like, wow, that's awful. I can't believe they did that. And then, like it was like, oh, the government is using germ warfare against its people and a whole bunch of people are being wiped out in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And then it was 2020 and I was like, Jesus, fuck, what the hell? Like, so often they would talk about some part of their past. Because the conceit of that book is that the government of the United States has fallen, but the largest corporations, you know, which were very much analogous to, like, the corporations that we were talking about, like Tesla and Meta and Amazon,
like,
all of those big ones that like are kissing Trump's ass right now, like they sort of took over and created their own little fiefdoms based on their industry. And like, I've just over the last few years watched corporations, first of all, get the power to be considered people.
Yeah.
By the Supreme Court. And then all of a sudden they are getting more and more influence over the government. And now they're literally inside the fucking government paying for influence with our businessman president.
Yeah.
Like the way these folks have like saw what was coming. I was like, wow, this is scary. And maybe stop writing these books because it keeps coming true.
Somehow they're manifesting this, like they've got some witchcraft like woven into these pages.
Yeah.
It's scary how aligned it is, but also kind of awesome. Not in a, like, I feel bad saying that, but like they wrote it in such a way that it feels really grounded, even though the world itself is very fantastical. Like there's augmentation and robots and you know, androids and stuff like that. And it's really cool, but yeah, it does hit a little too close to home right now. Right. So another one where it's like definitely worth picking up, especially the audiobooks, but definitely be prepared to be like, oh shit, is this happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
so it's like, that's the trouble with a good dystopian
fiction.
Is it's going to make you feel like, oh gosh, this is actually possible.
Yeah, actually possible, and also kind of what's going on-ish right now.
Yeah.
Like those keep surfacing back in my brain as things unfold. I'm like, oh my God, am I going to have to join like a band of outlaws that are taking down cameras and just shit like that? So it's just wild.
Not yet, but we'll see. Not yet.
Plus, I mean, let's be real. I'm not going to join the fighters. I'd get shot in an instant or something. I'm not in shape.
Fair.
I'll help with...
I'm not in shape.
Not in shape. That's a young person's game. I'm just to fight the good fight, guys. I'm going to be over here just petting my cat. That sounded awful. Anyway.
All right. And not in a euphemistic way.
Literal pets. The literal pets. What do you think draws us to these seemingly gloomy, sad stories, even though they are like, even though they're sad? What do you think pulls us to these dystopian ones? I think
they're supposed to be a comfort in contrast to the real world.
Whoops.
I think they're supposed to offer a perspective that we can, they're supposed to be a warning.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, yeah.
Be careful or this could happen. And I think we've gotten too close to the line.
Yeah.
Like, how far off does Hunger Games seem now, bitches?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I guess that is a good point. It is supposed to be a reflection of what could be, but now it's almost like, how do they circumvent these
it's
situations?
It's being used as a playbook by the people in charge.
Yeah, it's being, exactly. And now it's up to us, I guess, to be the heroes from those books that topple it somehow. But I don't know, man.
A hero. I just make podcasts and smutty books.
Right? Well, and I guess in a way, that's how we fight back against this stuff is continuing to make this kind of content and shining light and laughing about it, even though you cry on the inside.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. That's what I had for today.
Alternately fun and horrifying.
Yeah, it kind of as a good dystopian novel is. So
exactly.
that's the flavor.
So, well, then that's it for this week, and we will be back next week. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And as always, you can find us all over social media at Hoof and Fang Podcast. You can contact us through our website. Really, it's better to just send us a direct email at hoofandfangpodcast@gmail.com because sometimes the website doesn't notify us that we have a message.
Yeah,
it's very inconsistent. That. Yeah, and like Patreon still exists.
Yes.
But if you join now, you won't be charged anything because we ain't doing. So that's what's going on for us, and we will be back next week.
See you then.
Bye.